You are listening to The Human Physical Therapist with Russell Leonard. Get ready to be inspired by the stories of amazing humans. Hello, humans. Last episode, I talked about pain science and all of the factors that influence our perception of pain, especially chronic pain or emotional pain, since they're all processed in the same area. Over the last 3 weeks, I've really dived into more of the application or the use of neurodynamic techniques to change how my brain operates, to change how I see my reality and experiences, and to really dive into a couple of those specific areas. And today I'd like to talk about one. Today I'd like to talk about optimism. Now, optimism is just the confidence and belief that something positive will happen in your life, regardless of past experiences, regardless of the current situation. And I've always considered myself to be an optimist. What I've realized through understanding myself better is that I was more of an external optimist. I was only half an optimist. I would express optimistic or optimism to others externally, while internally I was lying to myself because of things that I said out loud, I didn't necessarily always believe. Sometimes it was the opposite. I wasn't really being true to myself. Now, what I've come to understand is that in order to be optimistic, you have to have self-compassion. And all that is having compassion, but it's having compassion for any of the perceived inadequacies of ourselves, having compassion for our failures or for just general suffering. And that's composed of a few different parts. The first is being kind to yourself. It's having or meeting your emotions with warmth and encouragement, rather than ignoring them or criticizing yourself for having them. The second part is realizing that those feelings of failure and suffering are normal. Everyone experiences them. The suffering is part of our human existence. And the last portion is being able to observe our thoughts and our feelings without reacting. It's mindfulness. It's without judging, without siding, without suppressing or exaggerating those feelings. It's being able to dissociate your thoughts and your feelings from your core identity so that you don't react emotionally to your feelings and make a bad experience even worse. Now, through my life, I've had a lot of expectations, and I usually hold people to pretty high expectations, especially others in more professional settings. I believe people are able to perform at a much higher level than they believe themselves capable of. This always started at a young age because I've always put these expectations on others. But the expectations I place on others are only about half of what I place on my own self. Whether that was through sports, archery was a big one for me, always trying to do better, always trying to improve, always trying to get that perfect score. Or if it was running, always trying to get a new personal best. And then through the entirety of my school career, from kindergarten all the way up to grad school, expecting perfection on my assignments, on tests, expecting perfect grades. Now, many times these expectations may have been unrealistic, but they did serve a very valuable purpose in my life. That was to push me to do more and to achieve higher. I don't believe high expectations are a bad thing. It's how we react to them that decides if they are good or bad. High expectations cause us to push ourselves harder and further, and even though we don't reach those expectations all of the time, we will get further with a higher expectation than we would with a lower expectation. If I take school for an example, if I were to expect to get a B in a class, well, I would be happy with just a B. If I got a B minus, I might consider it a failure, but not a big one. However, if I expect to get an A, well, all of a sudden that B or B minus doesn't cut it. So I won't be happy with that. So I'll push myself harder to get closer to that A. Maybe I'll achieve a B plus or an A minus. Whereas if my expectation was a B was okay or good enough, then I would have settled versus pushing for something better or greater. In that sense, high expectations are a very good thing. The problem for me was that many of the times when I didn't meet my expectations, this voice in my head, my inner critic, would come out. It would bash me for not accomplishing what I had set out to. It would tear apart my self-confidence. I would challenge my worth as a person in all different aspects of my life based off of not reaching these expectations, especially if I felt they were super important to me. And more often than not, when I did this, I would catch myself doing it. And as long as I can remember, I would be angry at myself for feeling those emotions. I would emotionally react to the emotions I was experiencing, and that caused me to bottle everything up. Now, maybe you experience these same feelings as well. Maybe you never have, and you don't associate your emotions with other emotions, and that's a great thing. Maybe you've never realized it, but you do the same thing. Well, for that last group, I have good news. The awareness that you're doing that, that realization that you can do something about it, means you can make a change. You can change your brain to think differently, to develop some self-compassion, and to become a true optimist. Now, I'd like to tell you a story about one of my patients. I've been treating him for a while now, and he's in his mid to late 90s. And for the most part, he was a healthy guy the entirety of his life. He always tells me stories about how good of an athlete he was, a runner, how he continued to play golf up into his mid-90s just 2 years ago. And hearing him tell stories about his past really opens my eyes to how people can remain active for so long in their life. The problem was he started having medical complications and he went in for a routine surgery a year and a half ago. Well, there were complications with that surgery. And he ended up with a longer stay in the hospital, which led to a further deterioration of his health, which led to another couple of surgeries later, more stays in and out of the hospital, in and out of nursing homes. Essentially, he has lost the majority of his vision, the majority of his hearing, and a lot of his physical capabilities that he had had just 2 years prior. Now, looking from this point of view, he has every right to feel negative and poorly about this, and he does, but that's literally all that he can talk about. Is everything that he's lost. Every time I work with him, he challenges his own worth as a human. He continually shares his negative thoughts and feelings out loud. And every time I work with him, I feel like I'm drawing from this well of compassion. As I encourage him and I try to get him to see the positive side of everything that he's going through, that he is getting stronger, he is making progress. His physical capabilities are increasing, allowing him to walk further, allowing him to get to the bathroom. I compare both situations, the situation where I react negatively to myself and then where I react compassionately to my patient. They are the exact opposite. Somewhere within inside of me, there is this deep pool of compassion that I have no problem with pouring over others. However, not a drop was given to myself. The words I used to react to my own emotions were very similar to the words my patient was speaking out loud, yet the reaction from me was totally different. Now that I've shared these stories with you, I want to invite you to join me in an exercise, exploring your own self-compassion or lack of, exploring your own inner critic, the little voice in your head. Now you can just reflect and think about it. But I've always found writing to be more effective, an effective medium to put those thoughts down and really process them. So I would encourage you to try writing, even if you think it's silly, because it can have some very profound and powerful effects. Now, during the course of this exercise, if you feel like you run into any emotions that you are not capable of handling on your own, definitely seek out a professional's help. Because they can use different strategies and tactics to overcome those feelings with you. But what I'd like you to think about is the last major negative event in your life. I want you to think about how that made you feel, what feelings and thoughts were going through your mind at that time. And then think about what things you told yourself, What did that conversation look like? Were you kind and compassionate? Were you bashing yourself, tearing yourself apart, challenging your own worth? Was it somewhere in between? Did those emotions you were feeling create other emotions inside of you? Or was there acceptance and peace? I want you to specifically write down all of those things, what you told yourself, the exact words you used, to the best of your ability, and to really try to experience that using I feel statements. Try to experience those emotions like they were happening now. And after you've gotten that written down, I want you to take a minute. Just reflect. Let those experiences, let those emotions wash through you, but don't judge them. For the second part, I'd like you to think about a time when someone close to you, a friend or family member, was going through another negative experience, where maybe they expressed some of those same feelings about themselves to you, where they were challenging their worth, where they're bashing or tearing themselves apart. How did you react in that situation? What things did you tell them? How did you comfort them? What specific words did you say to help them overcome that negative event in their life? Once you have both parts written down, I want you to read back through both of them. Do you see a difference? Should there be a difference? If there is, why is there a difference? Just reflect on that for a minute. Don't judge the things that you have done or said to yourself in the past, because that does no good. But think about why or how those situations are different. Are they truly different? Both yourself and this other person have gone through a major negative event. Both of you probably had some negative feelings or emotions attached to it, and the only difference is the reaction. You have slightly more distance from your friend's negative event than from your own, so you're able to see things slightly differently, and you react just a little bit different. Now, having reflected on that, for this third part, I'd like you to rewrite what you want, what you want to say to yourself should that event occur tomorrow, with this new insight from both of these experiences. Write in specifics. I challenge you to continue writing until you find exactly what it is you wish to tell yourself. Don't settle for just good enough. I'd be willing to bet that what you want to tell yourself is much more like the second situation than the first situation. And going through an exercise very similar to this has really opened my eyes to how I treat myself, the words that I use in my own experiences in my own reality, many of which influenced every area of my life negatively. Now, I'm not going to say this one exercise is going to fix everything, but for me, it's allowed me to take a large step forward in my own life. I used to think that I was an optimist, not realizing that I was only an external optimist. But now, I can truly call myself an optimist. And most of the time, I'm telling myself the truth. There are still days or times or events where it's very difficult for me to control that inner dialogue. And it's something I'm still going to continue struggling with, I'm sure, the rest of my life. But I have this awareness, and I now have that ability to dive into the situation, into my feelings and thoughts, and think about them in a different way without reacting immediately to them, which allows me to steer myself back toward the optimist side. And I wish the same for all of you.
Thank you for listening to The Human Physical Therapist with Russell Leonard. If you would like to follow my story, like my Facebook page, The Human Physical Therapist, for more news and information about my podcast. If you would like to connect with me or other humans like me, I invite you to join my Facebook group, also called The Human Physical Therapist.